Viewers travel to Scotland or New Zealand or anywhere where there are lots and lots of sheep. Sooner or later, you're going to see a very unusual sight. You'll see a little lamb running around the field, and you'll notice that this lamb has stains of blood on his or her body and has what looks like an extra fleece tied around its back. In fact, sometimes you'll see little holes in the fleece for the lamb's four legs, and maybe even a hole for its head. If you see a little lamb running around looking like that, this normally signals that its mother has died. Without protection and without sustenance from a mother, an orphan lamb will surely die as well. And if you take the orphaned lamb and attempt to introduce it to another mother, well, the new mother will just butt it away. She will not recognize the lamb's scent, and therefore will know the new baby is not one of her own lambs. But thankfully, most flocks are large enough that there is a ewe that has recently lost a lamb. The shepherd will skin the dead lamb, use the dead lamb's blood to mark the orphaned baby, and take the fleece and make it into a covering for the orphaned lamb. Then the shepherd will take the orphaned lamb to the mother of the baby who has just died. When she sniffs the orphaned lamb, she will smell the blood and the fleece of her own lamb, and instead of butting the lamb away, she will accept it as her own. To accomplish the salvation of this little doomed lamb, three things have to be in place. And the first one is a good shepherd. A good shepherd leads the sheep. He leads them out. Jesus never coerces us. He invites us to follow him. A good pastor does not manipulate or threaten the flock. The people have such love and respect for him that they instinctively follow. That is why integrity and consistency represent essential virtues for a pastor. Ministers inspire people to follow them whenever the people can trust their shepherd to guide them into green pastures. The pastor understands that he is, like it or not, their shining example. A good shepherd protects the sheep. Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." Jesus spoke in the vernacular common to that time. A good shepherd led the flock into a protected enclosure and then slept in the opening, the gateway of the sheepfold. The shepherd literally became the gate and personally blocked the entryway. Any wild animal seeking to harm the sheep could only enter through the gate, and that was guarded by the shepherd. Jesus taught us the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks in the flock and scatters it. No, the hired man runs away because he is just that, a hired man, and cares nothing for the sheep. It's interesting that the New Testament, working this whole image, identifies three types of wolves that will kill, steal, and destroy unprotected sheep. In the book of Acts, false teachers. In the book of 1 Corinthians, grossly immoral believers. And in the book of Titus, leaders who are repeatedly divisive. The good elder protects the flock, even if the adversary disguises himself in sheep's clothing. You know, the wolf in sheep's clothing. Meaning that many in the church don't initially recognize the danger. Most importantly, the good shepherd loves his sheep and sacrifices for them. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Christ demonstrated his love for us by dying for us while we were still sinners. The church senses that the good shepherd genuinely cares for them, and he puts their interest ahead of his own. They observe him sacrificing time, money, and energy for them. They see that he is there to weep with them when they weep and rejoice with them when they rejoice. Pretty quickly, the flock knows that he cares. The second thing that is necessary for this redemption to occur is the blood of the Lamb. There is only one thing in the world that can hinder the Christian's walk, friendship with God, and the believers being filled with the Holy Spirit. And simply, that is a sin in one form or another. There's only one thing in the world that can cleanse us from sin. With all that that means in terms of freedom in Christ. And that is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. It is, however, most important to us to see what it is that gives the blood of Christ power on behalf of humankind. It is then that we will understand the power of Christ's blood in and for our own lives. Scripture ascribes great power to the blood of the Lord Jesus. By the power of his blood, peace is made between man and God. By its power, there is forgiveness of sins and eternal life for all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of his blood, Satan is overcome. By its power, there is continual cleansing from all sin. By the power of his blood, we are indeed set free from the tyranny of an evil conscience in order to serve the living God. By its infinite power, by the power of Jesus' blood, the most unworthy of us all have liberty to enter the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies in the presence of Almighty God. And to live there, not for just one day a year, but for all eternity. And the third thing that is necessary for this salvation to be wrought, the little orphaned lamb must be clothed in a new white fleece. In the book of Revelation, we read these words. The question is raised, who are these clothed in white robes, and where have they come from? I said to him, Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. And later in the book of Revelation, we read about a rider on a white horse. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And his armies, which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses as well. And then, in the closing chapter of the book of Revelation, Jesus says these words, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter by the gates into the city. Outside the gates of the kingdom," he tells us there are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices the dark art of lying. You see, because we have a good shepherd in Jesus, because in baptism we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and because we have been wrapped in the white fleece of the Lamb that was slain, we have become acceptable to God by being reclothed in Christ Jesus. You know, while some Christian communities celebrate the resurrection for a day, one Sunday, with Easter bonnets, new suits, new dresses, with eggs left by a bunny, that still doesn't pass 8th grade biology class. Eggs left by a bunny? We, as Catholic Christians, well, we need a full 50 days to unpack, to understand, to celebrate, and to enjoy. Having been washed in the blood of the Lamb, having been wrapped in his fleece, we now live new lives in Christ. Thanks be to God.